Revelation 3, 4 through 22 says this, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot or cold, cold or hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy gold from me, gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. To whom I love, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Verse 21, and the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Do we have our listening ears on? God's given us ears to hear what he will say to us today through his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Relying on you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come to you, Lord, asking for your will to take place in this very service at this very appointed time. We come to you, Lord, asking for your will to take place, your words to penetrate into our hearts, minds, and lives in such a way that you permeate into us, Lord, your life, your way, and that we would abide in you and follow you, we would respond to you according to what you would have us to. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, help this to resonate in our minds and hearts as we ever grow closer to you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And the church said, amen. You know, we've talked about a lot of churches in these seven. We've talked about six. You would think Sardis was the worst off. They were dead. But no, Laodicea is the worst off. They're the most at risk here. It's clear the condition is pretty rough when we stop to think about it, when we really take it in. Now, this place that they were in, Laodicea, was a place of great wealth. There was merchants who were creating linens and clothing, fabrics. There were so much happening that they had all the gold they needed. They had all the wealth that they felt like they needed. They even had like this medical facility that just was renowned for the eye salve that they had created. You see how the Lord speaks directly to us. He knows right where we are. And this is what it said to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write these words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. He knows us. He sees us. There's nothing that we can think that he doesn't know it all together. He knows us. He knows the attitude of our heart, our spirit, our soul. He knows us. We can't run and hide anywhere, anyhow, any place that he don't see it all together and knew it before it happened. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He's all-knowing and everywhere. He knows. He knows. The church at Laodicea, it wasn't dead, but it was worse than dead. You may think to yourself, what is that? Worse than dead? The church of Laodicea was lukewarm. Lukewarm. That'd be a word that we talk about a lot today. Lukewarm. Let's begin with verse 3:14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. This is a revelation of Jesus, of Jesus Christ, the Amen. We say Amen. Amen means I agree. It is truth. This is a title that Jesus spoke about himself, the Amen. The church can understand that he is the Amen. Jesus is a declaration. He is declarating that he is a guaranteed truth here. Guaranteed truth. Jesus says is what Jesus says is complete truth. There's no lie in it. What Jesus says is complete truth. Truth completed. All the way. This means two things for us today to remember. We can trust, the church can trust the promises of God. They are yes and amen. They are truth, even to a lukewarm believer. The church and the believer will face judgment. That's the second thing that we can know. We are certainly going to stand before Christ. Just as the churches in Asia Minor received this letter, Christ today knows where we are right here in this moment. He knows where we are when we get to next Sunday and all the in-betweens. He knows us, church. John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me, Jesus said. He is the truth. And there are many more verses, many more passages in the Word of God that tells us of his truth, who he is. This completeness of truth in Christ Jesus. He's the faithful and true witness. Jesus is faithful to God the Father. Jesus bears the true witness of God the Father. He came because we are so very loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:11 says, and John declared this, John the Baptist, he bears witness of what he has seen and heard. Jesus did this. He bore witness of God the Father. Revelation 1:5 says, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. That's what we're learning. He is faithful to witness. He's the truth. He is the way, and he speaks the truth, and he is the complete truth. You know, the world says there is no real truth. We know that's a lie from the pits of hell. There is a truth, the truth in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the way. There is no other. He is the way to God the Father. He is the way to salvation. He's the only one who will save us from our wretched, sinful state. There is no other. A lukewarm church, what does that mean? A lukewarm church is half-hearted. They don't bear the whole witness of the truth of Jesus Christ. You can't do that if you're half in and half out. You're either all in or you're not there. But halfway? What is that? Sitting on a fence. I can't imagine sitting on a fence for one day, a whole 24 hours, just sitting on the fence, straddled the fence. Let's call it a barbed wire fence. Why don't we? That's insane to sit on a fence like that and try to sit there for our lifetime and call ourselves a Christian. And Jesus is calling the church at Laodicea out for this. Jesus is the ruler of God's creation. Jesus is the creator of all. He created you and me, just like we are in our bodies. He created you. He did that. He put you together. The world says, oh, you pitiful thing. You're no good. You're just worthless. Well, without Jesus, we would be, but we are created in the image of God Almighty. The image of God. Yes, if we do not accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then we will become really wretched eventually. We will draw away from God, away from God, away from God every time we ignore a call to Him. Every time we reject a call to Him, we are hardening our heart against Him. We are hardening our heart against His will for our life, the creator of our very being. How, I don't want to use the word stupid, maybe. But that just seems crazy to me. I don't really like the word crazy either, but you know it is foolishness to turn away from our Creator and say, no, my body's my own. I'm sovereign over my body. I will do whatever I want with it, and I'll do whatever I want with my children's body. The world is perverting things to the point where people think that they have that right, and they do not. It is God's will that we must follow. God's will. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the ruler of God's creation. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Saturday morning, early in the morning, Roger and I were sitting on the front porch. If you don't know, Roger's my husband. Charcuterie, Roger. He was sitting on the front porch with me, and we were talking about the Lord, and we were talking about this very verse, and we said, let's look up and see what we see that was made. I saw a tree. He didn't share what he saw, but there's a whole lot of trees, birds, grass, squirrels, all kinds of things that we're looking at. All of this that was made by God. As we're sitting on two rocking chairs that couldn't have been made without God giving us the knowledge how to make them. Nothing was made that was made without God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God is God Almighty. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. How much do we need him? How much do we need to glorify him? A lukewarm church does not proclaim this or live this way. Hebrews 1, 2 through 1 says, long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So where does the lukewarm church put their trust? A lukewarm church isn't wholly trusting God. There's something else that they're putting their trust in. A lukewarm Christian isn't completely trusting God at all, really, not completely. And if you're not trusting God, then what are we doing? Where do we put our trust? Ask yourself, where do I put my trust? On the worst day of my life, where do I put my trust on the best day in my life? My life is not my own. It is hidden in Christ. A lukewarm church. Search your heart. A lukewarm church is half committed to Christ. They're not focused on Christ. They're centered in their self. Not focused on being led by the Spirit to please God, but led by the program, the ritual, the ceremony. And they are trying to please God by a program, a ritual, or ceremony. This is why it's so dangerous. Because we could come to church and be in church every day that we live and not be wholly committed to God. We can have given our lives to Jesus Christ when we were a child and not be wholly committed to God. We can be lukewarm. Jesus reveals this to us because he loves us. And he doesn't want us to be lukewarm. A lukewarm church is so centered, so focused on self-indulgence, what pleases the person, their self, what makes them feel good. I'm here to tell you, feelings are fickle. Happiness is not going to last. It's fickle. It goes and comes with the breeze of the wind. You get outside on a beautiful day and it's a wonderful day. Perhaps you ride a motorcycle or you're the person that drives it. You have your helmet on and you've done everything to protect yourself. And it's a beautiful day. It feels good to be able to go out and do that enjoyable, scary thing. And then all of a sudden, a bug hits you in the face. Maybe your teeth. Well, we need to be focused on God on the worst of days. That was a comical one. Half committed to claiming and proclaiming Christ is what a half committed church does. They don't claim Christ all the way. They may go into certain settings and then they don't share the gospel in the middle of things. Roger, could you please turn the air down 2 notches? They don't testify of Jesus Christ. And it's because they're so maybe filled with programs and so involved inside of something that they really aren't reaching outside and reaching the world for Jesus. They're so busy working, possibly. Maybe. You know, Jesus said he saw their works. They were doing something. They were a church because he called them a church. But he showed them that what they were doing was being lukewarm, missing God. They don't teach the word of God. They're half committed to teaching the word. They're fickle-hearted about it. They're half committed to evangelism and missions, half committed to holiness and pure living for Christ. One foot on one side of the fence in the church, the other foot on the other side of the fence doing something ungodly. Judge your heart. Look at your heart. Cleanse. Cleanse. Get your heart right before the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says for us, Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind in the Word of God. You renew your mind in the Word of God, or you're at risk for being transformed into the image of the world. You want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not complacent and falling aside. And conformed to the world. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You want to know what you're called to? Right here. Start right here. You want to know where God wants you? Start right here. Start right here. You want to know what kind of way to do something for the Lord? You start everything in prayer, and you start in the Word of God, and you ask God to teach you. And He will. Oh, He will. Half committed to denying themselves. They are not denying themselves. Jesus said, if anyone should come after me or would come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. Not follow self, or I think this might be the right way to go, but follow Christ and his word. You know, there are some in the church, not this one that I know of, not this one, but there are some in the church who are questioning God whether they should leave their spouse. But they're missing something. Right? They're missing something. They've got to start here. You've got to start here, or you might miss God completely. And you will. You miss God. And you got to know what God's will is in any situation in life. Any situation. The Word of God shows us this. Have committed to the church. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord is coming. All the more getting together, being together, strengthening one another, encouraging one another, not skipping out, skipping church. Half lukewarm, people may find themselves there, half committed to the church, half committed to staying awake and learning. Sometimes it's hard. You work hard. You come in and you may have even glaze over eye. You may have to slap yourself. I have had to slap myself before. The word of, we know that there was a man that fell out the window when Paul was preaching. We are in this flesh, but we must battle. But some are half committed to even caring about staying awake or learning anything. Half committed to supporting the church. Half committed to witnessing, Bible study, daily devotions. Where are we at? Ask yourself, where are we at? Romans 15:4 says, whatever is written in former days was written for our instruction. We need the Word of God. And through endurance and through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. We need that instruction because we need the hope that things can change, that we sometimes can change. Deuteronomy 17:19 says this, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and the statutes and doing them." Reading it all the days of his life. God's law, God's will, God's statutes, his precepts, God's way. We will not be able to do this without God. This, without the presence of Jesus, is meaningless. We must have the presence of Jesus. It is more than a religion. Much, much more. It's not like a religion, not that. It's a relationship with our Savior, the Creator of the universe. Now, Christ loves this church so much that he warns them. He loves us just that much that we have this in our hands. He also warns us. He says that if they do not change, he will spit them out of his mouth. Spit them out. I really thought about spitting. It's just such a... You know, yes. Thank you. Jesus would be so repulsed with the soul, the person who calls themselves a Christian, that he would spit him out. Very, very strong language for a clear point that needs to be made, and he's making it clear. You know, being lukewarm is being in the danger zone. Let's say you bought a meal and you set it on your counter for 2 hours and it's some kind of meat. You're taking the risk of getting some bacteria in your body. The danger zone. Cook rice and pasta, you could get another kind of bacteria that I can't pronounce in your body. If you lay it out too long and you don't take care, if it's lukewarm. Drinks and things like that, soups and gravies, all of these things. Jesus is giving us this figurative language so that we can understand it isn't pleasant to be found by Christ in a lukewarm state. Just think, Christ will spit us out, but we're the ones being spit out if we're in a lukewarm state. No longer in Christ, but spit out. The church of Laodicea focused on their own capability, their ability, their resources instead of Christ. The Laodicean church functioned in self-sufficiency that was independent of God. Oh, they had talents. They had money. They had programs galore. And I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. They're the half, but not the whole. We need Christ. Without his presence, this is meaningless. Without his presence, our trying all that we can to make it happen, to work, to please God, to do whatever to please God is meaningless without the presence of the mighty God, without the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has called us to, rather than sit casually by, maybe even half in, half out, straddling the fence, which would be a barbed wire fence. Half in, half out. How ridiculous. Facing judgment day, knowing it's coming, but no, I will just sit right here and enjoy sin for a season, and I'll go to church and I'll get my check mark. I'm there, present star, yes. Those things are good, going to church, getting a check mark and a star is great, but without the presence of God and obedience to his word, It's lukewarm. I'm not going to spit, but it's lukewarm. To Christ, it's no good. They were truly in the danger zone, depending on themselves. What they did was done in the energy of the flesh and not the power of God's Spirit. Isaiah 5:21 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, shrewd in their own sight." They haven't spent time with the Lord if they're in that state. I must be doing it right. It looks good. Everybody's happy. But God, we must spend time with the Lord in any ministry that He's called us to, in anything that we are doing for Christ, in our walk with Him. Obadiah 1:3-4 says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you. You have lived in the clefts of the rock, in lofty dwelling. Who say in your heart," now this is the key, "who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground?" Kind of like, look at me. "Though you soar aloft like an eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Do not be prideful before mighty God." Be very careful that whatever you do for the Lord, that you know your place and you know your God. And you've spent time with God, because there is a recompense, which is a terrifying thing. We hear throughout the minor prophets and the major prophets of the day of the Lord. Oh, the day of the Lord, and we are looking for His coming. We heard the story of Noah building that ark for all the years. It's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. The day of the Lord is coming. And the people that rejected, they were outside of the ark in the mighty waves. When the ark was closed, that grace ended and it was done. A done deal. When we take our last breath, it's a done deal. There's no purgatory. None. You will stand before God Almighty. You will be judged. There will be no chance if you do not accept Him as your Lord and Savior today. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Today. Do not turn your back from the Lord. The lukewarm church is rejected because of their conditions. It's like tainted meat. Oh, that's kind of rank, isn't it? Who would want to eat that? The lukewarm church was spiritually lukewarm. They were spiritually wretched, spiritually contemptible. They were inferior to what they were supposed to be, spiritually pitiful. Without the presence of Christ and the power of Christ, they were pitiful, spiritually poor, according to Jeremiah 5:4. This is what he said. This is what he said. "These are only the poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God." Their God, not just a God, their personal God. They don't know the requirements. I have heard it said that the church they don't know the word of God. It's like not knowing how to read. But they don't know the Word of God, and they can read. Spiritually blind. Spiritually naked. Matthew 22:11-13 says, "But when the king came to look at the guests, he saw a man who had no wedding garment. Then verse 13, it says, then the king said to the attendants, bind him and hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place where there is weeping, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus asked in this parable, friend, how did you get here without a wedding garment? When he described this parable, and this man came in, he didn't have a wedding garment. And Jesus describes this man being speechless. That's what we'll be if we do not clothe ourselves in God's righteousness. We will be spiritually naked. I was a child when I heard that the first time about being spiritually naked, and I was so terrified that I would get to heaven with all these people and be standing there by myself completely without clothes on. It's really moving. 2 Corinthians 5:3 talks about putting on Christ so that we will not be found naked. He clothes us with righteousness. Christ's counsel for the lukewarm church. Now, just think of this. The Lord loves this church. If he didn't, he would not have even wrote the letter to them. He loves them. And he loves them so much. It was like a father, that kind of love. That kind of love, that love that is like a father's love for their child to correct them. Not to just let them go. We've got these permissive parents who really don't care. Some of them are absent. They could care less. But God is requiring us to love our children, right? He loves us like a father who loves us. He loves us so much. He's tender towards us. That kind of love. He wants the best for us. He even counseled the church, this lukewarm church, this church that he could spit out of his mouth. Revelation 3:18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. This church needs to buy spiritual gold, that kind of gold that was refined by fire. Spiritual gold is not the kind of gold we find in the ground. Spiritual gold is refined by fire. The city of Laodicea, it was wealthy, remember? The Lord was speaking directly to them. Buy this from me. This is more important. This is real. This is eternal. He is telling them to buy white clothing. Remember, the city had this large textile? But the only way a person can be accepted by God is to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The church needed to buy eye salve. Remember, the city had this famous eye salve, but it wasn't good enough to give them the sight they needed spiritually. They needed to be able to discern and understand what is right in the sight of God. They needed Jesus. They didn't depend on those Jesus. They depended on those other things, and we need Jesus. We must depend on him. Christ counseled them to do two things, to be earnest and to repent. Christ loved them. It's critically important that we too be earnest with Christ and repent. He loves us. Now, I am not saying that you are lukewarm per se. I'm saying check. Check with the Word of God. Check with God Almighty. It's important that we get a hold of God before we do things. We're putting things at risk if we don't. As your pastor, if I don't pray over what I say yes to, and I do, I put you at risk and myself at risk. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, is it not? We must call on God. so that we can win the world for Christ, so that we can be that light that He has created us to be. Christ still loved them. He still loves us. He loves us. He always will. And we see Christ here in this, doing some things. He's standing there. And He's knocking. Standing at the door and He's knocking. He's pleading. He's knocking. He's always knocking. He's always pleading. He always wants to be having communion with us and us with Him. He always wants us to come and dine with Him. He wants us to be in Him and Him in us. He wants us to have that close relationship with Him that is so close that we don't get off step. We don't get out of tune. We can't do that on our own because then it becomes it's a work. It's just works. We must have Christ and His Holy Spirit to refine us, to draw us closer, to correct us, to shape us, mold us, and lead us. We must follow Him. In Revelations 3, 21 through 22, as I close, there's a promise. This promise goes throughout the first four chapters of Revelation when Jesus is revealing Himself to the church. It says, to the one who conquers. Now, that's not a conquering like Lisa's going to go conquer the world all by myself kind of conquer. Oh, look at me. I got all the talents in the world, and I can do all these things. I can help this person. I can help that person. It's not a conquer like that. It's a greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It is the, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jack, would you? So what kind of church are we? We've gone through all of these seven churches in Asia Minor. You know how we find out what kind of church we are? Even if we thought we were perfect in every way, which, you know, no one's really perfect. If they are, they might have a mental problem. That's the truth of the matter. We get before God, that's how. Would you like to ask Him how you're doing? You know, He will let you know. And if you would, I'm going to ask you to stand. And now in this standing, I want you to search your heart and ask God how you're doing. Earnestly, in repentant heart, how am I doing? I'm going to pray over you and with you as we do this. We need to know how our church is doing. We need to know how we're doing. We need God to speak so that we can follow Him close in line.